Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we are in part one of Come On In. You're all welcome.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Everyone, thank you for tuning in to New Every Day. So glad that you've joined us. And I haven't been on the show for a while, Jen, because you've been out gallivanting with Jane.
I know. We've been out to the Midwest U.S. and on a road trip and had a great time. And so now we're back and here we are sitting together. And hey, how's
back
it going?
Like normal. Good. How are you?
Good.
You did some fun things.
You did some fun things and did a lot of conversating. And here we are back in the book of Acts.
Yeah,
we're back
in action. Oh my gosh. Okay, anyways. Acts chapter 10. So this is the story of Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen, why don't we just read through it and then we'll start to talk about it.
Chatter up.
You know, like normal.
All right.
In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa.
There we go. Cornelius.
So who was this guy? So every time I hear Cornelius, I think of Yukon Cornelius from the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So I just see this big burly guy with a big ginger beard. Anyways, I know he probably didn't look like that.
No, because he was Roman and a centurion. So he was in some level of fitness.
There's something interesting about that.
Okay.
Is that it's just interesting that they mention his role, like who Cornelius was. He was in this important position.
Yes.
And this interpretation, this is the NLT study Bible, says that it was important for Luke, the author of the book of Acts, to show that Christianity was not hostile to Roman officials or institutions and could, like Judaism, be permitted in the Roman Empire. It's interesting. It says, the captain of an Italian regiment. A regiment included 6 centuries. A Roman legion was divided into 10 regiments.
Hmm.
Interesting, hey?
Yes, and he was the leader of the regiment. Like, not just a soldier in the army, but he was a man of influence and of some form of authority.
Yeah.
And here he is... says he was a devout and God-fearing man. Mm. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly.
Mm. Can I have a tissue?
You may.
So moving.
It's just so moving. But what's interesting is that even though he was a Roman soldier, he feared God.
Mm.
Like, so he knew, had an awareness of who God was, and then served him with his life. Because so often, James talks about what is the religion that God desires, and it's to take care of widows and orphans.
Yeah.
You know, Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Throughout, the book of Isaiah says, you know, to look after orphans and widows.
Yes.
And so here is, bless you, here's this Roman soldier, mm-hmm. and Romans did not have a good reputation. Because that is the first thing, right? A centurion that was known in what was known as the Italian regiment. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was Roman. And yet, he was a...
Bless you. Excuse me. This is all of a sudden here. Okay, sorry.
And so I think that first and foremost is the most important thing, is they're establishing who he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about it, he is, like, it was the Roman soldiers who crucified mm-hmm. Christ. It was Rome who had control of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why are we even talking about him right now?
And the dynamic then that happens between, we'll see in the next part, between Peter and Cornelius is very interesting, because I was speaking with a friend about this recently, and how, that the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah who was going to come and bring liberation from the oppression of Rome. So, like, they were waiting for that kind of Messiah, like that kind of king.
Right.
But here is this dynamic gospel that's coming to the Romans to change them from the inside out, not through another authoritarian figure, which, like a king or some other official, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And so here's Cornelius, this anomaly in the Roman Empire, who loves God and yet serves Rome and takes care of people. And you know, it got me thinking as I'm reading this, and it says, you know, devout and God-fearing, gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And one of the questions that came up as I was reading was, well, how much do you fear God? Like, do you actually go about every day fearing the Lord?
So what does that mean? What does that look like?
But, like, because it's not like, there's an element of,
Yeah, you could do anything that you want. Lord, you created the whole world.
Right.
You it's could that smush everybody.
Awe and intimacy, right? It's like, wow, like,
yes,
the breeze is yours. Every drop of hail is yours. You draw the land, like, you draw out the land, you draw the line in the sand for the waves. Like, they don't come a molecule farther
than
what you say. And I actually read that in the book of Ezekiel today about how it's his breeze that blows. And I was like, wow. Like, that's the awesomeness of God, the awe, right? Mm. And then the fear is like, wow. You can do all of that.
I'm still alive.
I'm still alive.
Yeah, you chose to make me.
Yeah, so to be a God-fearing man or woman is to be totally aware of who God is and humbled at the fact that you are alive and he's choosing to be in relationship with you. So you live out your life honoring God because you fear God. Like, you know who he is, and you're just like, dumbstruck that, wow, I am still here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do things because God commanded them.
Right.
Like, there is a sense of obedience, and we don't obey out of fear. We obey out of the fact that he's God. And what's interesting is we have talked about this before, about the Roman soldier who came and asked Jesus to heal his daughter.
Yes.
And he believed that when Jesus said, she's healed, he didn't need anyone to go with him, right? He just said, well, because you've said it, it's so.
He understood hierarchy and authority, and that people obey people who are more powerful.
Yes, so it's very interesting. Like, this, here we are, another Roman soldier gets God, gets the authority that God has, the power that God has, and then lives his life out in honor and respect of who God is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so how are you doing at being devout and God-fearing? Like, that wowness of who God is, and how do you go about obeying him? Or is it like, oh, I live under grace, it's okay.
Some good things to think about, and maybe that's a good time for a break. So why don't you give that some thought? What does it mean to actually fear God, and how does the character of Cornelius make you reflect on your own character? So we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We just want to stop and say thank you so much to our partners, the organizations and businesses who make this show a possibility. Mm-hmm. Go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click our partners page, and you'll be able to see all of those who are supporting us. If you would like to support us, you can click on the Patreon icon mm-hmm. on our website, and that allows you to donate with the airing of each show. So I've partnered with us.
That's great.
In that each time the show airs, then a certain amount is withdrawn and donated to make the show a possibility. So mm-hmm. if that's something you'd like to consider, we sure would appreciate that. And we're just thankful that you are tuning in to listen. And, mm-hmm. and we just really benefit individually from doing this show. And we were just praying before we started recording about how, like, every time we record after, I just feel like my mind is refreshed, my heart is renewed, because we've taken this time to talk about God and who He is. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for taking the time to listen and hopefully engage in your own mind the principles that we're learning here. And one of those principles, Jen, is
God-fearing.
God-fearing. I got to tell you, when I look at the way different Christians live their lives and the way different denominations operate in their view of God, it's easy to make a quick judgment and say they don't fear God. Because look how freely they live, or look how whatever. That might not totally be the case, because God doesn't see the things that man looks at, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yes.
And I think that the heart and the motivation is what keeps people consistent in the way that they experience God and the way that they talk about Him with other people and the decisions that they make. So for Cornelius, who was in this position of authority, it said that he sends a devout soldier to go and get Peter. So obviously he had soldiers who were devoted to him because they could see the consistency in his lifestyle.
Yes.
What's even more amazing is it says that he was a God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And unfortunately, I think in some Christian homes, the adults might talk the talk, but not always walk the walk at home. Mm-hmm. And it's even harder then for the rest of the household to buy yes. in and believe and be sincere and God-fearing if the leaders of the home are not acting that way. But here's someone who's doing it right.
Yeah, and when you said, you know, it's so easy to paint groups of people or denominations. Well, this is the way those people are. And this
or
is
all
the way.
Centurions.
Yes, or all the Romans or all the whatever denominations. And yet you're right. God looks at our heart. Like, he, yeah. you know, it's not like, oh, you belong to the whatever race, so you're all good. Hmm. No, he actually goes in, and that's what makes him so wonderful. He's a personal God. He looks at the heart of every single person.
Yes.
And examines their heart. And the fact that, you know, Cornelius was this anomaly, as I've already said, but he was so devout that he had influence on every single person in his household and in his regiment.
Yeah.
So he was genuine beginning to end.
Yeah.
And a couple times in the past, I've women who are really struggling in their marriage with where their husband is at, I've quoted that verse that Paul says that it is the actions of the woman that will turn her husband's heart. And it's so true. It's not necessarily the words that nagging, like, hey, come on, like, you should be reading your Bible,
or
what did you think about that? What did you think about that sermon? And what you should,
yes.
right? It's that nag, 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 the words, and it James says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And then Paul goes on to say, it is by, I'm hoping it's Paul, by your example, right, that the husband will come. And it's the same thing here. Like, Cornelius was a devout follower of God, even though he didn't know who Jesus was. He was a devout follower of God. Mm. Just like when we talked about beforehand how the Egyptian, the Ethiopian, was reading Isaiah.
Yes.
And he was open to the things of the Lord. And he's like, how can I know unless I've been told or it's explained to me?
So his heart was already drawn towards God.
Yes.
And he had some exposure and started reading. And I think that applies to Cornelius too.
Yes.
Is that, I also had an interesting conversation with a friend recently about, like, well, what about the people who don't hear about God? Like, how will they be evaluated? How will they be judged if they don't know about Jesus? But here's Cornelius, who had some exposure, and with the revelation that he had in seeing the Jews and hearing about God, mm-hmm. but, you know, maybe also understanding authority and also looking at creation and, and believing that there is a God who's worthy of my worship and my devotion.
So, but it's both and, right?
Yes.
Like, people can know that there's a God, and but yet they still have to be told. Like, it is the both and. So we can't abdicate ourselves to say, oh, no, they're going to figure it out on their own just by looking at my life. They're going to figure it out on their own just by looking at creation, right? Because that's what the Word of God says. So I'm totally affirming what you're saying because I believe the same thing. And yet...
But he still needed more.
He did.
Needs to know Christ.
Because Jesus said, I want you to go and tell. And, like, how can people know unless they've been told? And somebody once said, you know, tell the gospel all the time, and if necessary, use words. Mm. That's wrong. You have to use words. Like, it's the both. You need to live out your life like you're a God-fearing person, and then you actually have to tell your story. You have to tell about who Jesus is. So it is the both and. Like, and that's where it comes, where it says that he prayed to God regularly. It's that open communication with the Lord. So he's hearing from the Lord because the Lord spoke to him and he knew it was of the Lord. Because it says, he stared at the angel, what is it, Lord? Your version says, sir. But he knew it was God, right? So it's just so interesting. When you spend time with the Lord, when you do what he says, when you pray, when he speaks, you know. Like, you know it's him. And and so that's, he didn't say, like, who are you?
Yeah, well, When you spend time with the Good Shepherd, he says that my sheep will know my voice.
Yes.
And then they'll follow me. They won't follow a stranger because at that point they'll have spent enough time that they know his voice.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe that's where Cornelius was at. And he was ready for the next revelation that God was going to bring.
Which he totally follows out, right? He says, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants and told them everything that had happened. And isn't that cool? Like, he wasn't shy. He was like, so not only did he have a relationship with God where he prayed to God, but then he wasn't shy to say, this is what just happened.
Yeah.
Right? So,
not wondering if they'll believe me because he was like, this is important.
Yeah. So that tells me, and that's why his regiment probably were God-fearers too. Like, that he would have had influence, that it wasn't just like, okay, let's close the door and now we're going to worship God. No, like, he was. He showed his actions. He spoke what was going on. Like, he was like the real, he was the real deal. And it's like, so when that question on the side of this says, you know, how does Cornelius's life challenge you? I'm like, okay, how am I doing at sharing what God's doing in my life?
And praying regularly.
Yes.
And then being open to listen and then being open to respond. So we hope that you will take time this week to think about this and think about what it means to listen and hear and respond. And we're going to pick up right again next week.
Yes,
we are. And keep on talking. Will you pray for us, Jen?
Sure. So, Heavenly Father, help us to press into you. Help us to do what you say, which is what Cornelius did. Help us to pray. That means listening and talking to you. And then help us to obey what you tell us. Help us to be an example in word and deed of what it means to follow you, body, soul, and spirit, in all we do and all we say. Lord, be with our listeners today. For those that are struggling with sharing their faith, I ask that you give them confidence and courage. For those that are struggling to obey, Lord, show them where they're struggling. Give them confidence and courage, Lord, to do what you say. And so, Father, may your Holy Spirit move in the hearts of our listeners today and our watchers. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you same time, same place next week. Have a great week.
See you later.